Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's extreme mercy and blessings and fadl that again He has given to us, allocated to us an azim, a great night for forgiveness, for seeking forgiveness, for salvation, for repenting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He give us the value, may He make us feel, allow us to feel the value of such nights, of blessed opportunities. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. This majlis, this gathering, me and you seated here, coming here, is with regards to and relation to the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. This is such an amal, such an action, which is very beloved to Allah and accepted by Allah. And with regards to His dhikr, with regards to the dhikr of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleans and purifies our batin, our inner state. The sins, the internal sins, are wiped away, cleaned. And with regards to this, my friends, inside us, the illnesses inside us, the diseases inside us, the spiritual ailments, all are very dangerous. Let's do dua, let's pray that in this blessed night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eliminates and forgives our external and internal sins. Because the external sins, they are, you can say, restricted to this dunya, to this world. But the batini, the internal sins, will deliver a person to Jahannam, to hellfire. And you can get a doctor for the external deficiencies, tabib. When a person goes into the qabr, grave, then these physical sicknesses and illnesses, they stay in the world. But the internal maladies, they go with an individual into the grave. Into the grave. So the human being should definitely pay attention to his inner state. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somehow, in some means, delivers to us an announcement, a message, then if it's for the purification of our inner state, we should prepare ourselves to do that. We should become people who appreciate Allah Ta'ala's words, Allah's message. We should be shukr, shakirs. We should be grateful whatever words reach to us. We should appreciate them, accept them, so our akhirah, our hereafter, and our grave is made. The rest of it, having gatherings, and you can have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. What's the benefit of so many people coming together? The real objective is that we need to make our hereafter. That's it. Listen to what I say carefully. Praise be to Allah with tawajjuh, focused. I will do dua for you. You can do dua for me. This is ajeeb, unique, a system that Allah Ta'ala has made. And in this nizam, in this system, in this cycle, such illnesses are present within us, this cycle of life within a person. And one sickness, an internal sickness I'm talking about, is extremely dangerous, is very dangerous, that you should not even ask. And that sickness, that illness, when a person is overwhelmed with that illness and sickness, then the enjoyment of life goes. And he lives a life without any satisfaction, without any enjoyment, no good feelings, no good emotion, no enjoyment, no taste. Just he is breathing in and out, in and out, and the days are being passed. And it's a life without emotion, without satisfaction and being content. Such a disease this is, that results in that feeling. And a person, you know, in his business at home, in the wife, in the children, he doesn't enjoy himself. Just time's moving, no eating, no drinking, no enjoyment in any pastime. Days and nights are passing, that man, it's a severe sickness. Listen to this carefully. And more than this, worse than this, is that the person who's wrapped or surrounded by this sickness, affected by this sickness, then that person is in such a condition, such conditions around that person, that the yaqeen of that person starts to diminish and evaporate. Yaqeen, certainty starts to disappear due to this disease. May Allah forgive. This is such a dangerous disease and sickness that the danger reaches to the iman of the person. Look, how severe is this sickness? If we don't pay attention to this and think about this. So Iman comes into danger. Rather, due to this sickness and disease, day and night, people are committing suicide. They take their own lives and they pass away. This is how dangerous this disease is. If we take a percentage out, the amount of the percentage of the population that's affected by the sickness, maybe 99 out of 100 are affected by this. Because the start point, the start, you can say, points or the start signs are always with us. The jarasim, the germs, the bacteria related to this disease. So dangerous. And what is this sickness? What is this malady? What is this illness? The name of this illness, the Quran has given us the definition of this sickness, is when people lose total hope. Total hope. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is such an illness where a person loses all hope, that there's no cure that can be seen. People cannot see that there's any cure. And as I said, this is common. What's the reason for this? That when this sickness develops is due to the situation in our life. You know, the situation that's in our life, this sickness comes from that, for example, disappointment, yeah? The sickness of being totally hopeless, mayusi, hopeless. For example, when you have germs and bacteria that affect a person. So that's the cause of an illness, isn't it? But the cause of this illness is the situation that we're facing in our life, the condition, the environment, the scenario that's around us. So we see in our life every day we pass by certain phases, examples. If I want to do something or you want to do something, you want to, for example, apply for a house to live in it. It's a nice house. You acquire the house. You have the money. You like it. And you've planned for the house and everything's there. It fits and you're about to get it. You're about to acquire it. And then you don't get that house. So what will happen? What do you call this? Mayusi. Being totally hopeless and dejected. Oh, it was a good house. And it'll keep on circulating in your mind. Then you'll try for another house and you like that house, and then you didn't get that house. Then what will happen? Again, mayusi, dejection, hopelessness feeling, disappointment. A person applies for a job, he studies, gets a degree, applies for a job. They say, yeah, take the interview. He goes, he's happy, I'm going to get the job. Letter comes through the post. Sorry, we've rejected your application. So how will that person feel? Dejected, disappointed, hopeless. So my friends, what are we saying here? Is that the circumstances in our lives, that is what causes this illness. For example, you start a business and you start to have loss in your business. Then what will a person feel? Dejected. This one, I started business and there was loss. Look at this. So reality is that when a person gets disappointed, we say depression. This is the start of dejection and disappointment and hopelessness. That person gets disappointed or depressed and he doesn't go to hospital. That this is the first stage of this illness. That, as I said, that depression is the beginning of disappointment and dejection and hopelessness. And a person, due to this illness, loses iman and yaqeen and iman. Look, I'm doing this, and this doesn't help me, and I'm not successful. So it increases. Why is it happening to me? Why not to other people? So these circumstances are always with a person, always with us, at home, outside, shop, business, different phases of life, morning and evening. We are faced with the challenges. Are they not? So when we are not successful in an action, then straight away what comes? Dejection, hopelessness, disappointment. Yes? Distress, you can say distress. So this is a dangerous disease. It's a dangerous disease. Good people, they're praying salah. What's the point of praying salah? My heart is empty. I've lost all hope. And my heart is empty. I don't feel like it. I've got so much distress and problems and issues. I wanted to work. I had a business. I don't know why I'm not successful ever. It's not in my qismat. What a dangerous disease. What a dangerous disease. So, the reason for this illness, Allah Ta'ala said, لَا تَقْنَطُ مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Short verse, Allah Ta'ala, beautiful point Allah Ta'ala has made. Beautiful point. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Allah says that do not be hopeless. Do not be dejected. Do not be disappointed. Because Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is subhanallah. Say subhanallah. What a big, big cure. Allah Ta'ala says, a mu'min, he has iman and he's dejected, feeling hopeless and disappointed. No, no, no. These are opposite things. Wallahi, it's just like the opposite of day and night. Yani, it's amazing that a person who has iman and he's dejected. Oh, I haven't got a job. My business is not flourishing. I had to get a loan. I can't pay off my debt, my loan. And I'm in debt. And he had to give me money. He didn't repay me. This happens in my life. A job, I didn't get it. Husband, wife. Husband's upset with the wife. Wife's upset with the husband. Upset with the children. Disappointments upon disappointments. Yes, so we have distress, and a person is distressed, then he leaves Allah, he goes further away from Allah. May Allah Ta'ala not allow, may Allah Ta'ala not allow. Allah Ta'ala says, people leave their iman. Allah Ta'ala says, do not despair. Do not despair. We shouldn't despair. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Allah has told us the reason as well. That the reason for despair, Allah says, is what? لا. That Allah says, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله, is that you've gone away from my rahmah, from my mercy. Yes, and that's why you are in despair now. If rahmah is there, then never will a person be despairing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, if there's light, then you will not have darkness. Will you? If there's a heater, then you will not feel cold. So Allah Ta'ala says, if my rahmah is there, then how can you be in despair? Ah, subhanallah. Subhanallah. If my rahmah is there, then why are you in despair? Why are you dejected? Why are you disappointed? And a mu'min, subhanallah, mu'min, and far from Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. So this is like a domino chain here, isn't it? That a person's in despair. Why? Because he hasn't got the rahmah of Allah. And how can a person not have rahmah of Allah if he is a mu'min? So a person who's in despair, who's distressed, this is adab, punishment, ghadab of Allah. Those people who keep on frowning, upset, distressed, always negative, when they're mayus. The person who's mayus, who is in despair, he will think negative. He will talk about, oh, leave it, oh, this is not useful for us. Oh, it can't be for us, it will never be for us. Face always crying and upset. Always, never will he speak in a positive way. Oh, I'm not successful, we lost out on this, or we don't succeed, I don't know what's happened to us, I don't know why this has occurred, how come this has occurred, it should not have happened to us. 24 hours, whenever you speak to that person's in despair and upset, negative thinking, dragged down. You know when you say to that person, come on, let's go apply. Oh, leave it now. I've done so much. I'm not applying anymore. I will stay at home. I'll take hold of the bed, the mattress, the quilt, and totally give up, totally in despair, won't work, feel like working, like doing anything. Oh, leave it now, we've got nothing left now, there's nothing left for us. This, a person shrinks himself. On a small point, adab, this is adab. For example, a girl's about to commit suicide, I wanted to get married to this boy, my folks didn't accept, it's better I take my own life, she says. Astaghfirullah, on a minor matter, a person's taking her own life. Look at the boy, I wanted to marry that girl, and they didn't allow me to get married, he gets angry, and then he'll maybe hurt himself three or four strikes on himself and kill himself. Oh, hungry, I'm upset. A person's got hunger, poverty, and they'll kill their own children. Set the house on fire. This is happening night and day. This is adab of what? This is punishment. Allah says, you are far from my rahmah. So my brothers, if we want to be saved from despair, if we want to be saved from disappointment, if we want to be saved from dejection and hopelessness, then Allah says in the Quran, do such amal that Allah's rahmah starts to come to you. Subhanallah. Why? Subhanallah. Because there is no cure for despair. Because this is the first stage of depression. I said, this is the first stage of depression. Being in despair, distress, and a person's got tablets and tranquilizers and drugs, going to hospital and doctor, this shock and that shock. You can emphasize so much and go around the world. There's no cure for despair or distress. There's only one cure. That is the rahmah of Allah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah's rahmah. If you start doing the actions that earn Allah's rahmah, attain Allah's rahmah, Allah says that do actions that acquire and earn Allah's rahmah. Because Allah Ta'ala says that if you do actions that earn my rahmah, then you will be successful. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, turn to me. Turn to me, subhanAllah. Turn to me, pay attention to me, and become obedient, Allah Ta'ala says, and you will get the solution. Allah gives the solution further in this verse. Allah has given the tariqah that if you want my rahmah, Allah says, as soon as the rahmah comes, then your life, it will be full of greenery and happiness. You'll be full of sukoon. The people will come to you to get sukoon, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Do people not come to the wali of Allah to get sukoon? Allahu Akbar, a lot of sukoon amongst the walis of Allah. People are tired in the dunya when they go and sit next to wali of Allah. Hazrat, do dua for me. SubhanAllah. Then at that time, that person's heart is full of content feeling. And the person is asking him to do dua. Then see his condition. He's sitting on the straw mat. He hasn't eaten himself for 3 days. And he's got many sicknesses and illnesses. And there's poverty at home and hunger at home. Allah says, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. But the mercy is there. But the company of the wali of Allah is so good. Is so much happiness around the wali of Allah that he makes other people feel happy. Why? Because the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that person. Is with that person. Look how much do we ever think. I think that what people we are. We are losers. What kind of people are we? That we have iman. Allah has given us iman. Allah has given us such a name of iman, and He's given us such rahmas and mercy. Tell me, the person who doesn't believe in Allah, can he have rahmah? Can he have mercy? Can he do the action of mercy? But we have so much. Allah says, in every breath of yours, I've given you so many amal, that if you do those amal, the rahmah of Allah will come. Wa anibu ila rabbikum wa aslimu. Allah says, look, for example, we're sat here doing dhikr, not one, two, subhanAllah, take out many hadith. Every hadith starts from this, that person who does the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah pays attention to that person. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Sakina, satisfaction descends onto those people. Look at this hadith. If a human being, one individual or group of people sit and do the dhikr of Allah, me and you, we're not animals, are we? We're not donkeys sitting. We're human beings, aren't we? Sat here. Aren't we? We're not sitting on the pavement. We're in the house of Allah, aren't we? Aren't we? Tell me. We're not here to listen to music or songs. We're here to recite Allah's name, aren't we? So what else is the majlis of dhikr of Allah? Is this not the definition of it? What we're sitting here? Allah Ta'ala has defined it. That when a majlis is formed for the dhikr of Allah, for my remembrance, Allah Ta'ala explains the emotions in that gathering. We didn't know, did we? Allah explains the emotions. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you go to a majlis where only the dhikr of Allah is happening, solely for the dhikr of Allah, subhanAllah, and it's the night of Jummah, which is now, what a great ni'mah. Yes, at this time again, 70 times extra reward magnitude. This is not a normal gathering, subhanAllah. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? What does Allah Ta'ala say? That when a person sat in that way, then the angels from all four directions, they surround that gathering. The angels surround that gathering. Amazing. And from the heavens, Sakina descends onto the gathering. Allah's rahmah, mercy enshrouds that gathering of dhikr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that jamaat of dhakireen amongst His mu'ajiz, amongst His special select angels. And Allah ta'ala praises that gathering of the dhakireen. And whoever doesn't have yaqeen in this is not a Muslim. That's it. If you don't have yaqeen in this, that Rasulullah has said this, and we are not Muslim then. If we don't have yaqeen in this, and a person who has yaqeen, then he cannot leave the action. So what shall I say now? Tell me. That is this the amount of people of yaqeen just who are sat here? If this one hadith we bring into our lives, my friends, tell me, in the same way a person dies in this manner, that from all four corners the angels have wrapped themselves around us, Allah's rahmah has circulated the gathering, and sakina is descending from the heavens, and Allah is praising and mentioning the dhakini of this gathering, and Malik al-Maut comes and takes our life, then tell me what a great life it will be at that time. No? So now, that for example, this is not in the hands of everybody. If it was, then everybody would arrive here. From morning, the board, the announcements, when everyone comes, prays, leaves, reads the notice board. And there are many who have not read the board or heard the announcement, but they're here maybe. So this is not in everybody's destiny. This is not about your strength, your will. This is wahid solely due to Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy. That's why I say so many times, SubhanAllah. It's not my strength that I come here. It's not my achievement. Is it your achievement that you have arrived here? Is it your power and energy? Nobody can come with power or health or energy. It's not that I've got a car or I arrived here or I had the means and I came or I was nearby and I came here. No. This is Allah Ta'ala's special fadl and grace and mercy. Whoever Allah Ta'ala wants to give, then Allah takes the person from the mattress and brings that person here. SubhanAllah. So this one reward, if we compare now, one human being, any human being, tell me. This one reward, that if you are given all the kingdoms of the world and you see the road that the angels have surrounded you, you can see this. Tell me that wouldn't you give your life 4,000 times over, you'd say, I want to live and live and live again. You'd give away all of that, and mal and wealth and assets, and as you say, forget that, I need to get this gathering of dhikr. Subhanallah. So is this not the luggage of rahmah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the goods of rahmah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us? Allah Ta'ala says, this is the real reason is that you are away from my rahmah. You don't have rahmah, you don't have mercy. So you'll be in despair and distress, and my adab will come to you. You'll be running around like mad, your amal will finish, and you will give yourself away for taqa, for nothing. So it's better, the alaj, the cure of the biggest disease is what? The Allah Ta'ala says, then what should we do? وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا. Allah says that if you have this issue, that you despair and you don't have the mercy of Allah, then turn unto your Lord repentant. Allah says, be attention, pay attention to me. When a person starts dhikr of Allah in abundance, kathira, and remembers Allah, then two qualities come into that person. That's why Allah Ta'ala is saying this. The two qualities and two rewards Allah Ta'ala gives to that individual. Remember this. Every man is in a different stage of dhikr and spirituality, and he can see this, and I can see this in my life, you can see this in your life. The Quran is full of haqq, it's right, correct. But a person can see the reality of the Quran in reality, physically in the life. That person who does dhikr of Allah consistently, then the two qualities that Allah Ta'ala mentions that come into that person, as he's a dhakir, you can physically see those qualities in your life if you're a dhakir. Who's the honest dhakir, who definitely has made dhikr the objective of his life, and is regularly doing dhikr, he's taken all of that line and career in Islam, and dhikr of Allah is what will promote me everywhere, and just like his shaykh, he's taken all of dhikr as his regular practice, then he will see physically that student, that two rewards qualities will come into his life. One is what? First, the action that comes, the feeling of the heart of that mu'min is tawakkal Allah, comes into the heart of that person. Tawakkal Allah. Trust in Allah. And secondly, radi bi rada, that he is pleased with every decision of Allah. He's happy. Yeah? Tell me. No tablet, show me any tablet of depression that is more powerful than this tablet of dhikr. By doing dhikr and kathira, Allah gives two rewards straight away. Tawakkal Allah. Before dhikr, that person's a donkey. A donkey. He has trust in nobody. He has trust in his power, his energy, and he's a sidekick for other people, and he goes and runs after people so he can get their job, his jobs out of them. And then when, for example, he becomes wealthy or famous, then people pick up his shoes. But a person who has tawakkal Allah, then people run after him to acquire the experience and advice from him, because he has no link with the dunya, he has just the link with Allah. And he trusts in Allah for everything. So when a condition like this comes into the person's life, that for example, if we look at the condition in our lives, upset, distress, problems, difficulties, we want to do things, actions, we're not succeeding, obviously, we have to live in the dunya, there's no success, distress is coming, we're upset from children, from home, from the wife, from the children, from business, from wealth, from friends. Tests will come, challenges will come. This is part of life, ups and downs. And you got negative, bad and tough experiences, then we shouldn't despair at that time. We shouldn't be dejected. We shouldn't be hopeless at that time. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Then turn to Allah. Allah says, turn to me. Turn unto your Lord. And when such a condition befalls a person, where he's got negative consequences all the time, then if we don't turn to Allah, then again despair will come. Illness will come. Despair will come. Hopelessness will come. And such illnesses come into that person's life. But if we take hold of the solution, the Allah says, these conditions are going to come in your life. The ups and downs, or if it's more downs, will come to your life. These are part of life. Tests and challenges. And this was in your muqaddar. This was in your destiny. Problems, difficulties, challenges, upset, despair. But Allah says, do my dhikr. Turn to me when you do dhikr kathira. Then I'll give you the solution. Tawakkal Allah. You'll have total trust in Allah. Whether I get the job or not, I'm not worried. If my shop runs, business runs, no problem. Allah will give to me. Because there's the asbab, the means with tawakkal. Whether I get married or not, no problem. My bride will come. And to please Allah, which is the second quality, this is a great, great reward of Allah. Subhanallah. That whatever a person attains, whatever feeling comes, whatever conditions come in a person's life, he is happy with everything that's there. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, that's fine. The way Allah Ta'ala has kept me, no problem, no differences it makes to me. Tell me, should such a person feel hopeless and in despair? If he's not succeeding, If he's not succeeding, then he knows that Allah Ta'ala is the one who will make it happen. If things have not happened in my life, why is a person then happy with Allah? Even if things are not happening or succeeding in his life in the world, why is that person happy with Allah? Because if I want to run this shop, if I get this house, if I got this business, if I was to get X, Y, Z to get married, and if it's not happening, and it keeps on stopping and delaying, then that person will be happy. I'm happy for this reason, Alhamdulillah, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has decided this for me, and he knows that it's not good for me, and Allah has delayed this and disrupted my plans. SubhanAllah. So he's happy with Allah's plans. That today I went to apply for a job, or they expelled me from the job. Alhamdulillah. He's saying, Alhamdulillah. I'm grateful to my Mawla that he saved me from a bigger calamity. After that, Allah, you saved me from this. Allah, you shook up, the job's gone. Maybe this was in my destiny. This was not good for me. What a great conclusion. The person who's in despair, he will knock his head left and right, coming home, fighting, going, oh, we've lost everything. We are lost. We've gone bankrupt. Where are we going to eat from? Oh, my job's gone. I've lost my wealth. And he's crying and complaining. What a big difference. What a big difference. Crying, lamenting, banging your head on the wall. What's the benefit? Physically, nothing. Leave all of this. And if you turn to Allah, your Rabb, then what a great benefit. Look at this. Look at this. So this is the dhikr of Allah, my friends. How Allah Ta'ala gives planning. How Allah Ta'ala says that I plan for you better. What a great benefit. Then when a person does the dhikr of Allah, subhanallah, then there are two rewards Allah Ta'ala gives to that person. That he has trusted Allah, tawakkal Allah, in everything. Look, for example, subhanallah. All the examples are there, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, his blessed life. And if we see, look at the physical life and being of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at the physical lives of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. Which moment passed in their life in which they didn't have any test or challenge? Tell me. Was there anything? Any phase or moment? So what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do at those times when he had a challenge or had a test? Look at the time of Hunayn or Badr or Hud or Khandak. These great expeditions, or in Taif what happened, or the life in Makkah, the first 10 years after Wahi, what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell us to do? That whenever an event comes to you, the Sahaba Ikram said, SubhanAllah, whether it was Badr or Hunayn, Hunayn was such an expedition, an event, that the Sahaba Ikram, that they were at the, you could say, the extreme of the challenge, but they saw the glorious Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and as a one of the companions of Radhiyallahu Anhu said that I took hold of the rein of the horse of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we were in an extreme condition and we were in a difficult phase, and I saw that Rasulullah Sallallahu looked very content and satisfied and happy. What was Rasulullah saying? Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Astaghiz. He was reciting. Ah, he was happy with Allah. He was happy with Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a great tarbiyat. What a great education. So in things at home, ups and downs, children, business, shop. So what should a person do? Be happy with Allah. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Nastaghiz. Ya Allah, the cure is your rahmah, your mercy. What else can be the cure for my problems? And what is Allah's rahmah? The dhikr of Allah. Look at Badr. What a great event. Great event in the history of Islam. What an extreme test for the Muslims at that time. Severe test. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. In sujood, prostration, dua, rujoo ila Allah, turn to Allah, take Uhud. Take Uhud. Whenever any maqam came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then practically demonstrated to us, this is what you need to do. And Rasulullah told his ummah, educated his ummah, you will never be mayus, never be in despair, despondent, hopeless. The house which has no distress, and those who are not in despair in the house, and the home, in the family, in the children, alhamdulillah, then that home is Jannah. Paradise. Always crying, I've got no money, no wealth, and this has happened, as that's happened, etc. Crying, beating a chest, and complaining, and criticizing, problems upon problems. All day and night we earn halal, haram, we don't know anything. We cannot differentiate such homes and houses. Children are there, like old, they come from Pakistan, and they're old, they come, they're about to die, they come to this country, migrate to make money. What do we get? The funds that people get to attain that. They've already moved, they come back from Pakistan, they've come to collect my benefits, so we can still get our free benefits, and then we go back. Yes, a person's old and he's committing fraud and deceit, by swear by Allah, that person will see the consequence for every second of life. Those people who are sticking to halal, who have no worry about poverty and hunger, alhamdulillah, then they are satisfied, they have no need to turn to the wrong actions, because they are trusting in Allah. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Turn to me, Allah says. Turn unto your Lord. Why do you destroy yourselves in this world and the next? We don't have yaqeen. So when a person leaves Allah, then these punishments descend. Despair comes, distress comes, iman is eliminated. Every day these events come past me. Oh, I have no yaqeen in Allah. People say, I don't know what's happened. What's happened to you that you have no yaqeen in Allah? So I say, let me look inside. Let's analyze. What's happened? Put it under the microscope. Why is your yaqeen in Allah gone? You used to pray Salah. No, you know, I've got waswasa of shaitan. I don't have yaqeen in Allah. I'm weak now. I don't even have yaqeen in you. They say that you're my sheikh and this, but I'm just losing hope, he says. Or the person says, I've said, let me analyze. What's the reason that they don't have belief in Allah and his Rasul and the sheikh? All of his certainty is the map has changed. What's happened to this person? No, nothing. Please tell me, what's the issue? Bus, 3 days, three times I tried to get something in the dunya, I couldn't acquire it. I tried so much, I'm so tired of trying, but I don't get what I want. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, such a small point. So what is this? Adab. Punishment. This is adab. Because there's no rahmah. No mercy, never is there dhikr. We don't remember Allah. We don't have fikr. We don't have this. So Allah Ta'ala has given adab straight away. Punishment. Allah takes that person running into the dunya, more into the dunya. A person drowns in the dunya. I see this myself. That's why I'm telling you the practical solution. So if we explain to those people, they will only understand that time when they fulfill their desire, then you'll be the sheikh. When they fulfill their desire, then they'll accept Rasulullah. And then if their requirement is fulfilled, then they'll be ashiks of Allah. But if that requirement is not fulfilled, then all of the iman will fail. If they don't get the shop they want, belief in Allah is gone. If the sale has not gone up with speed, with growth, then they will stop in believing in Allah and obeying Rasulullah and following the Shaykh. Astaghfirullah. This is adab, punishment. So isn't dhikr of Allah a great, great asset and tool? Whatever you are, whatever is happening in your life, take hold of a wali of Allah. His company is Abayazid Bastami. Rahmatullah, don't look for him for all your life that he will descend from the heavens and will get bayah with Junaid Baghdadi. Any Shaykh today you acquire, broken down, humble sheikh, that's the biggest ni'mah of all. Consider it as the most greatest ni'mah. And it's not the sheikh who gives. Who he gives? Who is it who gives? Allah. The sheikh is the wasila, the means to Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Allah's hukam, take hold of the company of my wali. The sheikh is the wasila, is the means, his company is the means to Allah. However the sheikh instructs you, implement the amount of dhikr he tells you, do it. And your deen will be made and your akhirah will be made, alhamdulillah. And fikr will go, worry will go, tawakkal will come, and you'll be pleased with Allah Ta'ala's rada. Look, do I know what will happen to me today, tomorrow, what illness will come, what will happen in my house? I don't know what's going to happen. We don't have no guarantees for tomorrow, do we? Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow, brothers? No. So the person goes home, and the house was on fire, the child was at home, and the mother had gone. I can show you a brother. He said, everything was fine. My wife had left home, she left the children at home. When she came back, the house was on fire, and the children had burnt. Allah, I know such people like this. Yes, that the dunya changes within seconds. Tell me. So, can we have certainty or guarantee for what's going to happen the next hour or tomorrow? That if we stood at the shop, when you go back tomorrow, the shop's not there, it's burned down, people have looted it, and they've taken the money, and they've taken the stock, and they've gone. Thousands of things disappear from the life of a person. You can sit down, and the person disappears. Life's gone. Passed away. So this is dunya. Temporary. And it's continually changing. So what do we need to confront this? Tawakkal Allah. Trust in Allah, number one. And Allah's rada, Allah's pleasure, number two. We should be pleased with Allah's decisions. Then our life will pass positively. Otherwise, we will break down. We will break down. When Allah's rada comes, and when Allah's tawakkal Allah comes in our heart, then we will not leave salah. We won't leave salah for our shop, for the greed of the world. Because we have tawakkal in Allah. We have trust in Allah. And the first and foremost, that person will run to Allah. The Allah says, Rabbikum. Wa anibu ila Rabbikum. No, I cannot leave salah. I cannot leave prayer. Yes, oh no, there's a customer is coming for the airport. No, I cannot leave salah. Let the customer wait. I will speak to the customer. Can you wait 5-10 minutes for me? Let me pray salah. Otherwise, you have to go in another taxi. And I know friends like this, all my friends. And he says, no, can you please, when he hears namaz, mashallah, even if it's a person who doesn't believe, he says, no, please you pray and I'll wait for you 5-10 minutes. Even if you're late, I've got a bit of time. Subhanallah. But the human being doesn't even dare that he's not done dhikr, he's not paying attention to Allah, he's got disease and blackness inside. He doesn't even dare to say that, look, the masjid's come, let me pray, salah time. Never will he say it. Never. Why? Because he doesn't have tawakkal, he doesn't have trust in Allah. The Allah Ta'ala is the one who helps the person all the time. Never does he dare that wherever he's working, for example, he's in occupation, should he tell his boss that, can you let me pray salah, give me a bit of time, I want to pray salah. No. And I've experienced this, if you look in life, I swear by Allah, that I've worked in many places in this country, in big institutions, not Pakistan. And the worst of places I went to, but I never left salah, and I dare to ask my boss that I need to pray salah. And they said, yes, please pray. I don't mind, you can pray here. Subhanallah. In those places today, masjids have been constructed, I tell you. Subhanallah. Allah, will he not help the human being? And secondly, those brothers who are the sidekicks, what are you doing? You can't pray there. You're praying in their midst. What will they say to you? This was our ideology. Negative, they'll laugh, they'll joke. Is this a place to pray? What are you doing? You'll do a bezdi. You'll dishonor us. I swear by Allah, this is what they used to say. And now, I used to just relax, put the prayer mat out, and I used to pray with ease. How can a person leave the salah, prayer to Allah? No way. This happens at that time. How did this happen to me? How did this happen to me? Why did I feel like this? When I met a wali of Allah, he gave me the teaching of dhikr of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala, according to his promise, gave tawakkal Allah, and he made me pleased with him. Then I was a kid. If they suspend me from work, they can suspend me. But that was time of ghurbat, poverty, challenges were happening. And to stand firm on the deen, it was difficult at that time. It was difficult. And for example, a person was high up in status and suddenly come down to the ground. A person faces challenges in life. That, for example, from a high status, and he's then falls to the ground on his face. And you have servants and a big house and wealth and a car and hair. He's working in a factory, brushing the dirt on the floor. This is a big test for a human being, isn't it? Tell me, that workers all the way around, whistling, jeering, and a person who's educated, a professor, and he teaches others. And, for example, what an easy life, what a big difference from the skies to the ground. Think for yourself. But alhamdulillah, that how did I pass the phase? That if I had not met Hazrat, then never could I have passed those experiences. This was the company of the wali of Allah, and the dhikr my shaykh gave, I was consistent on that. Allah's promise was fulfilled. That I will give you tawakkal, trust in me, and I'll be pleased with you, and you'll be pleased with me. And Allah also says that the tests of life, challenges, they're not always there with you. That Rasulullah showed us from his life, that same first phase, decade, difficulty, severity, that was Makkah al-Mukarramah. And then that same Jama'ah was coming back from Madinah al-Munawwarah, and Rasulullah came back to that same city, but the scene had changed. Just a little bit of time, a person has difficulty, and then after the darkness comes the light, after hardship comes ease. Yusri, after usra becomes yusra. Yes, Allah Ta'ala says that after difficulty comes isra. Don't keep on repeating and distress and despair. If you've taken hold of the dhikr of Allah, if I had feared at that time and shaken, then I would not be with you today. I would have been in the dunya, counting money, speaking nonsense and rubbish. But I knew that a wali of Allah had told me something. Don't leave dhikr. Inshallah, Allah will not leave you either. This is the promise of Allah. فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ Allah says, oh my dhakir, I will never leave you. I will never leave. This Allah's promise. The Quran promises. Is this not the case? فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ Remember me and I will never leave you. Allah says, I will remember you. I will not leave you, Allah says. At the time of death I won't leave you, in the grave I won't leave you, on the bridge of Sirat I won't leave you. To this extent, on the day of resurrection I will show to the dunya that this is my mahbub, my beloved servant. Subhanallah, who has Allah Ta'ala promised this to? Who? Which people? Say loudly. The Quran is saying, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ فَأَنْسَهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ Allah says that if you forget me in this world, Allahu Akbar. If you forget me in this world, if you forget your Khalik, if you forget your Rabb, then Allah says, then see where I will remember, I will forget you. Then Allah says that how I will forget you as well. So are we not grateful to Allah for the dhikr of Allah? Are we not grateful? Do you do dhikr? Do you do it or not? Tell me. Say Alhamdulillah everyone. Alhamdulillah. Broken down, whatever we come in the morning, evening, tasbihs are given. You do it. Do you do it, all of this? You are solid on the path? Look at this. This is the promise of Allah. And practically I will say to you, a phase comes in life, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Start dhikr of Allah. Such tests will come, challenges will come. But don't fear at that time. Because these are small challenges. That if it takes 10 years, but 10 years will look like it was 2 years to you. 15 years I did mujahida. I strived. How many years? 15 years. Haji Saab, this is a big point. Nothing happens. I had nothing to eat. I tell you the truth. And I said, don't worry, this servant will not go back. I promised to my sheikh, and I will not run back to that world where I had wealth and mal and honor and status and clothes and big mansion and tie and the suit and the car. This fakir will not go back there. No. No. No reverse gear. I've given my hand in the hand of my sheikh, and I had yaqeen and certainty. This is the promise of Allah. فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ. Eventually what occurred, such a subhanallah came out, alhamdulillah, that all of the difficulty went. When that morning came, then my life had changed and the improvement had come. And mashallah, so much wealth came that I can say to you that 5 people could not count my wealth in the same place. Subhanallah. Allah shan, Allah's glory. Such a business I attained at that time. I had business and wealth within hours, within an hour. وَمَنْ يَتَقُ اللَّهُ إِجَلَهُ. I read this verse and I was in sajda, prostration. And the tafsir of that verse came straight away, subhanAllah, within hours. And I became a wealthy person. I tell you the truth. Can you think like this? Why? Why don't we? Allah says, كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Is there anything in front of me, Allah says, that cannot happen? I'm telling you true stories to refresh your mind. Never fear. Never be afraid. Make friendship with Allah. Whichever sister, brother, male, female, makes friendship with Allah. And if the fakir just like that takes the hand, that I tell you the promise from my sheikh, that Allah will never leave you. Never. Never will Allah leave you. Don't take haram if you've promised to your sheikh. Don't do bad deeds. And pray your salah ala ula, beginning time. These are the promise you've made, isn't it? The promise. Afzal, in the front row. At the beginning time with takbir, with the initial takbir. Takbir ula, pray your salah. This is the glory of the dhakir. The friendship with Allah. Is this a small friendship? Tell me. Now, if you have friendship with a big man, famous man, then your character and you're known amongst people. Then you'll say that if you have links with big people, you put fragrance on, I'm going to meet that guy. He's famous, minister, MP, I've got friendship with this person. Then your appearance and format changes. So a person who meets a wali of Allah morning and evening, what about his condition? Subhanallah. So this is the shan. The mu'min should be in the front row, joining prayer in jamaat, congregation, takbir ula, coming to salah before time. That's the point for success. That's when you realize that this is the dhakir. Allah will say, this is my friend. Allah Ta'ala says himself that when the jamaat sits, then I am proud of the jamaat of the dhakirin. Allah says, I'm proud. Look at my servant in the world. He's hungry and naked. He has no clothes, no wealth, poverty, no wealth. And there are thousands of people who have shops and business and wealth, and their children, they are wealthy and they have high status in dunya, they have money, and I've given all of the requirements of the world, and here I haven't even fulfilled the requirements of his house. He's got problems and issues and poverty, but despite this individual remembers me. This is great ni'mah of Allah, great ni'mah. That's why Allah is proud of that person. If Allah has given everything in the dunya to us and then we remember Allah, what's the benefit then? What's the benefit then, my brothers? No, ill and fever, going to the doctor, thousands of diseases, problems, upset at home, distress at home, nothing succeeding in the world, in the dunya. But one thing, the person's immersed in the dhikr of Allah. Tasbih, don't leave the tasbih. Allah, 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 Allah. Everyone should be stuck to this. The person who becomes Allah's, Allah becomes his, my friends. And Allah Ta'ala, if he becomes a friend of Allah, if a human being becomes a friend of Allah, then the treasures come to that person. The treasure chests open. The mercy comes, the satisfaction comes. Just a little bit, Allah Ta'ala says, I put the distance between the glory and the success and that person. I just want him to become strong. When the mango isn't fallen off the tree, because it's not ripe, but when it drops at the right time, it's ripe. So Allah Ta'ala says, I want his friendship with me to ripen, and ripen a bit more, and ripen a bit more, so that he enjoys when he extends his hand of friendship to me. Allah Ta'ala says, let him ripen a bit more, go through a few more difficulties. But Allah has opened the treasure chest already, because when he starts to drown, then I'll give everything to him. Subhanallah. If I do not give to him, then who will I give to? Allah Ta'ala says. So do not fear. my friends, if for example problems are coming from the wife or children or vice versa, but when you have promised to Allah, you will not go towards haram, even if you die hungry, you will not leave salah, doesn't matter what happens, and all of Allah's orders I will obey, whatever Allah Ta'ala says to refrain from, then for me those actions are like a scorpion, an ant, or a spider, or a python, and Allah will test us, He will send us towards the unlawful things, and they will come towards us, those things in life, and if we bring them into our life, and do dhikr of Allah, then everyone else in the dunya is doing this and will get nothing, everything, 25 years in the dunya, people are doing this, then you're not left or no, you're right. You're trying to take the middle ground. You're not on the one side nor the other side. Leave everything which is wrong and bring the color into your life of the deen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understood? That's it. So have determination. Just a little bit of time we have. Little bit of time, I tell you the truth. There's only a little bit of time life. The 15 years I can remember that I strived at that time when I was a fakir and poverty, no money had gone, umrah. And me, I could not even remember at that time, alhamdulillah, how many hajj and umrah I've done. I couldn't even remember that I had a room in a hotel. That did I ever get a key for the room to stay in the hotel? Wallahi, not even the money to buy a cup of tea when I'd go on Hajj and Umrah to do to meet Hazrat, to do ziyarah of my sheikh. And how did I buy the ticket? Even that was my good fortune. After that, nothing left. So, mashallah, mashallah, wore the dhoti with the blanket. Wherever I feel sleepy, just lean and sleep. Don't see is there a road or a stream, whatever. Wallahi, I'll tell you the truth. And what a great life. I swear by Allah, what a great life. Difficulties, but a great life. One phase went, the phase of difficulty. So this, my friends, it's just for a few days. Don't fear. Don't have distress. The promises you made, may Allah keep me steadfast. I won't go towards haram. I will not leave salah. I will implement Allah's ahkams. I'll be steadfast. The person who's distressed is like a monkey and ape. How much he can run around like a headless chicken? He's written as a coward in the Kitab of Allah. Did any sahabi turn back from the challenge and run away and leave the deen until Qiyamah? Tell me, any human being, can he have as many tests and challenges as Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? That take one event of his life where he did hijrat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take that one event of hardship. What a severe hard time that was. How Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq Rasulullah, they went to the cave of Thawr, and Abu Bakr Siddiq tore his cloth and sealed the holes, and the du'as that come from the Quran, could Allah Ta'ala not save them from the difficulties at that time? Did Allah Ta'ala want to send him to a cave and get him bit by a snake on his heel, on his foot? Did he want the enemies to run after Abu Bakr Siddiq and Rasulullah and for them to walk with their bare feet, and they had wounds on their feet, and he had a wound on his feet due to the bite of the snake, and he had to tie the cloth on his foot? Did Allah Ta'ala not want to give them ease and comfort and luxury? Of course, they had nothing to eat, nothing to wear. The enemies were running after the Rasulullah and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Abu Bakr Siddiq stood firm, never turned back, never turned his face. What happened? Just after 10 years of hardship, that was before that. But when they returned, subhanAllah, to Makkah Sharif, then the sketch had changed. Everyone was there with their heads bowed, humbled, and the flag of Islam, the standard had been raised, and every man was great, alhamdulillah. So will we have determination? Encourage, mashallah. You will give me determination, I'll give you determination. I'm much, much weaker than you. So much weaker than you. Do you understand? Life is a few days. Just make your program, schedule, dhikr. We will never leave dhikr. The promises we made to Allah, we'll be steadfast on them. Doesn't matter if we get nothing, if we see a deficit, but Allah Ta'ala will one day fulfill that deficit, plug the gap. Whatever, however hard the time passes, let it pass. Let it pass. And if Allah doesn't allow, if somebody has haram money, haram rupees, sood and riba, taking the haq of people, tonight is a very great night. Remember this. In Allah Ta'ala says, in Allah promises that on this night, I forgive all of the on occasions like this, Allah says, I forgive all the sins within a minute, within seconds. Allah says, I eliminate all of the sins. If you do tawbah today, Allah says, what sort of money is this? I don't need this money. Let it be gone. You cancel the riba, take the money out, throw it away, and eliminate the impure things, and bow in front of Allah, and embrace the difficulties and the challenges, subhanAllah. And a new lease of life will come with the fadl of Allah. He says, no, this is haram, I need to leave it. I don't need this. Doesn't matter what comes, may that put this here, left, give it away. I don't need this money. I don't need the riba, the interest. Will take me towards loss, severe loss. Alhamdulillah, shaitan will come, oh, you'll die, poverty, hunger. You say, how can you take my life away? If maut comes, then will this money go with me, oh shaitan? Tell me. Will it go with me? You say, this, I do not need this money of fraud and deception. And whenever chance now, I'll eliminate this and do tawbah to Allah and promise to Allah that I'll pray Salah correctly and leave haram and pray Salah correctly and be steadfast. Whatever happens, Allah, we will obey you and we will not be disobedient to you. We will fulfill the sunnah of your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. And that's it. End of story. Wa akhru dawahum anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. May Allah Ta'ala be happy with me and you. That's it. Ameen.